peaceful name for a very troubled prophet. Jonah has been tagged with the title of the wayward prophet. If you know the story of Jonah, you know why that is. Another commentator has called him the man who ran away. And we learn a lot of lessons from Jonah because of that running from the will of God. We humorously say that Jonah studied at Whale University. Got his degree there. Those are the more charitable things that are said about Jonah. Most of the skeptics attribute Jonah to nothing more than fiction, a made-up story, a myth. Even some Bible teachers, believe it or not, in the more liberal end of the scope, will say that the story of Jonah is simply a parable because they cannot believe a story of a man being swallowed by a whale and living to tell the story about it. I know I've told you this before, but it's good, so I'm going to tell it again anyways. A fellow was sitting in a college class, and his professor was blasting away at those superstitious people that believe the stories of that fictitious Bible. And one of the students got bold enough to question the professor about his antagonism. And the teacher said to him, the professor said, "Surely you don't believe those miracles that are attributed to God in the Bible." And he said, "Like the world being spoken into existence in 24-hour days. Surely you don't believe that." The young student said, "Well, yes, sir. It's what the Bible says, and that's what I believe." He said, "What about this Red Sea parting and millions of people crossing over on dry land, and then it supposedly supernaturally closed in on the enemies that came in behind you? You sure don't believe that, do you?" And he said, "Well, yes, sir. That's in the Bible, and I believe that story." He said, "What about this fella Jonah who supposedly got swallowed by a whale, went down to the bottom of the ocean for 3 days and then came back up and was blurted out on land and survived and lived to tell about it? You can't tell me you really believe that story." The young student said, "Well, it's in the Bible, and I got to admit I have trouble with that one. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Brother Jonah all about it." The professor said, "What if you get to heaven and Jonah's not there?" And the student said, "Then you ask him." All right, Jonah. People doubt it. They question it. You know, I have read true stories of men that have been swallowed by a whale and lived and survived it. It's actually happened. Now, the true stories that I've read, the person that survived it actually came out very bleached, their skin, after being in the whale's belly, and the acid, the toxic chemicals that are in there, they came out with bleached skin they had for the rest of their life. And the Bible doesn't tell us that happened to Jonah or didn't happen. I'm not going to try to read anything in, but it has happened to other people other than Jonah. Here we have the inspired story recorded for us so that we know it's true. We know it's true because the Lord Jesus Christ used it as an example. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the center of the earth. So we know the story of Jonah is true. It's a story, I'll give you this, this is not in our outline yet. Chapter 1 is the story of a disobedient prophet running from God. If you know the book of Jonah, a disobedient prophet running from God. Go to Nineveh. I'll go to Tarshish. All right, chapter 1 is about a disobedient prophet running from God. Chapter 2 is about a praying prophet running back to God. A praying prophet running back to God. In chapter 2, while he's in the whale's belly at the bottom of the ocean, Jonah prays. We'll look at that prayer in just a little bit. And God hears that prayer. Jonah returns, runs back to God. In chapter 3, we read about a faithful prophet running with God. A faithful prophet running with God. He goes to Nineveh, and he proclaims the 8-word message that God gave him to preach. And we'll talk about that message in just a moment. So in chapter 3, a faithful prophet running with God. And in chapter 4, an angry prophet running ahead of God. An angry prophet running ahead of God. So the book of Jonah is a very concise 1,321 words. I'm going by memory there, but I think that's what I read. 1,321 words, 4 chapters, and yet so much information is packed in. I've got so many outlines written in my Bible of the book of Jonah, and I didn't want to use any of those for this tonight. So I came up with one that an old country preacher So I doubt you've ever heard it. An old country preacher, African-American, if you want to put it that way, old colored preacher, said this, and we'll give it to you this evening. It's a good outline of the book of Jonah. We're going to look, first of all, letter A, the focus on the mission. The focus on the mission. Letter A, the mission. And that's chapter 1. In chapter 1, Jonah is commissioned by God. Now, that's not our outline. Jonah's commissioned by God. Arise, go to Nineveh. And then Job, with consternation, goes against the will of God and goes a different direction and then suffers the consequences for the rest of the chapter. On our outline, we're going to look at this. Number one, God said, go. God said, go. In verse number one, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. We'll talk about Nineveh a little bit more in just a moment, but notice, it's only two words, or two letters, and a very simple word that God gives to Jonah that he has trouble with. You know, folks talk about the Bible, well, there's some big words in there, and there are some big words in there. Sometimes you have to use a dictionary. It's challenging. But you know, it's not the big words that we don't understand or comprehend, it's the small words, like go. That's the one we, as Christians, we have troubles with. It's easy to point the finger at Jonah and read this story and say, boy, she should have known better, but God tells us some goes that we have just as much trouble with. In fact, folks through all the Bible had trouble with some goes. There's a fellow over in Mark chapter 5 that had demons cast out of him, devils cast out of him. And he wanted to follow Jesus, and Jesus said no. He said in Mark chapter 5, verse 19, go home to thy friends and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for thee. He wanted to follow Jesus. He said, no, go. Go and tell your friends. You know, sometimes we have trouble with the word go. The Lord says, go and tell your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for thee. It's amazing how we can have trouble with such a small word. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 23, God told his disciples, the Lord Jesus told his disciples, go ye out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. You know what he told all his disciples, all those that believed on him? Go, bring them in. We sing the song, bring them in, bring them in. That's what the Lord told us to do. Go and bring them in. Yet sometimes we have trouble with that little word. We don't go. We don't bring anybody in. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, you know this verse, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Isn't it amazing? We look at Jonah and he had trouble with the word go. God told him to go. God tells us to go too. And just like Jonah, here's how we respond. Number two, Jonah said, no. God said go. Jonah said no. Now he didn't actually say the word no. You know, you don't have to actually say the word no to be disobedient. Notice what it says in verse number 2. Arise, go to Nineveh. Verse 3. But, there's that word, but, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. See what happened? Jonah didn't say to the Lord, no, I won't do it. He just went the opposite direction. God said, you go this way. Jonah said, I'm going to go that way. Proverbs 16:25 tells us, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. No greater illustration of that truth than Jonah. God said, go. Jonah said, no. Number three, the fish swam low. You ever heard colored preachers preach? They can get you shout. They can get Baptists to shout. They're good when they're preaching. God said go, Jonah said no, and the fish swam low. Look at the end of chapter 1 of Jonah, verse number 10, or the end of chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Now I know I'm skipping over a lot of information, but that's because we don't have time to do everything in the book of Jonah. You know the story that he fled from God and he got on the wrong ship, going the wrong direction. God sent a storm And the wind came and was boisterous, and the mariners threw Jonah overboard when they found out he was a wayward prophet running from God. And as he did his little, I love teaching this story in junior church. As he did his little pirouette, you know, off the boat as they threw him off, and he did his double tuck, triple somersault dive into the water. And right then, God had tickled the whale and brought it up from the bottom of the ocean to meet Jonah halfway, right there at the top. And the whale swallowed Jonah whole and took a dive and went back down to the bottom. Notice he said in chapter 2 and verse 6, Jonah said in chapter 2 and verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought my life from corruption, O Lord my God. He went down to the very bottom, down low. The Bible says in verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. You know, we know, and I've been saying it repeatedly, we know what kind of great fish that was. It was a whale. Look, if you would, and we're going to look at it so your eyes can see it. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 40. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. You know, you can try to deny the Bible and fight the Bible, and it's a losing battle. The Bible's always going to come out right. And there are folks that just get worked up about this great fish and want to try to say, well, it was a whale shark. And it was this kind of fish, it was that kind of fish. I'm thankful that none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself told us what kind of fish it was. And he just simply stated in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 40, we've repeated it already, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in, there it is, the whale's belly. We know what kind of fish it was. The Old Testament tells us it was a great fish. A whale, can I tell you, is a great fish. It's always humorous. Again, people, I just can't believe he was swallowed by a whale. Had to be that. And then even the Bible correctors can't accept that it's a whale. In the New International Version, it says that Jesus saying that as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge fish. The belly of the huge fish. They have a trouble with the word whale. The English Standard Version says the belly of a great fish. You know, I know a great fish. I know a huge fish. It's called a whale. And so there's no problem with the word whale. Of course, unless you have a New American Standard Version. And that says that as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster. You know, there's folks that carry that Bible around and seriously think it's the Word of God. And they've got Jonah being swallowed by a sea monster. And they have trouble with the word whale. That's just what happens with folks. The God said go, Jonah said no, and the fish, the whale, the fish swam low. Now we get to chapter 2. Chapter 1, letter A was the mission. Letter B, the man. In chapter 2, we focus on Jonah himself, the man. We're going to see, first of all, number 1, Jonah cried. Jonah cried. Now this doesn't mean he wept. Though I wouldn't blame him. I wouldn't question his manhood. If down in the belly of the whale, with the bars around him for 3 days and three nights, I can't even begin verbally to try to paint the picture of what it was like in the whale's belly. And if he would have wept and cried like a baby, I'm not going to be the one to point my finger at him and judge him. But when I say cried, it means simply this. In verse 1 of chapter 2, then Jonah prayed out of the Lord to the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. All it took to make Jonah pray was being swallowed by a whale and in his belly for 3 days. Don't be that hard-headed. Don't be that determined to go against God, that God's got to do something. God's got a monkey wrench that'll fit any nut in Guernsey County. And he'll do whatever it takes to get through. And if it takes being swallowed by a whale, I got news for you. He's done it before. And he can do it again. You say, well, that's pretty drastic. Well, God will do drastic things when drastic measures are required. Don't put God to the test. You'll never come out ahead. All right, so Jonah prayed. In verse 1, verse 2, he said, and I said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. That experience inside the belly of the whale, I don't know if whales got ribs. I mean, he said, the earth with her bars was about me. The inside of that whale was like a prison cell to Jonah, and he was down there for 3 days and three nights with all the debris and all the smell and all the odor and all the stuff that's down in there. And Jonah cried, out of the belly of hell cried I. In fact, verse 2 all the way down to verse 9 is Jonah's prayer. All of those verses, all eight of those verses are Jonah's prayer. We don't have time to read all the way through them, but if you start in verse 2 and go all the way to verse 9, in verse 9, he ends up, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Jonah cried. Number 2, Jonah almost died. Jonah cried. Jonah almost died. Look at verse 5. "The waters compassed me about, even to the soul." You ever almost drowned? I did one time out in the Pacific Islands when we were there as missionaries. I almost drowned one time. It's not a pleasant experience. They say your life flashes before your eyes. Yeah, and boy, is that a bummer. I mean, it goes pretty fast and there's not a whole lot of highlights in it. And drowning is not a good experience. Imagine Jonah in, you know, I watch movies of submarines. I can't even begin to fathom getting in a tin can and going all the way down to the bottom. I've read a lot of books. I've read stories from World War II, and I've read about the submarines that got blown up down there and the water leaked in and the guys were trapped in those things. Those are the scariest books I've ever read in my life. There's something about that thought of being under the water like that. That's where Jonah was, in a whale for 3 days and three nights down at the bottom of the deep blue sea. I can't imagine that. Jonah cried and he almost died. In fact, there are some commentators that believe that Jonah actually did die like the Lord Jesus Christ and was resurrected on the third day to fit the picture's perfect story. I personally don't buy into that, because I think if that had happened, chapter 4 in the book of Jonah would be completely different than it was. We'll get to chapter 4 and we'll find a disgruntled prophet there. And I really believe if he had died and been resurrected like some think, he wouldn't have been that easily disgruntled over the gourd and the worm and all that kind of stuff. We'll look at that in a moment. But Jonah cried and Jonah almost died. He said in verse number 7, "My soul fainted within me." My soul fainted within me. You think about the depth of those words. Not just his body fainted, but his soul. "My soul fainted within me." That's like passing out and dying. Jonah almost died. Jonah cried. Jonah almost died. Number 3, God replied. Jonah cried, Jonah almost died, and God replied. Look at verse number 10. "And the Lord spake unto the fish." God has control over everything. There's not a creature on God's earth that He doesn't have control over. Not an element on this earth that God doesn't have control over. That storm that hit Chicago O'Hare Airport on Monday night that kept us stranded for 2 hours in there, I really didn't mind it a bit. There's a fellow one row over and back of Sonia and Aaron, and he just started complaining from the beginning and never shut up for 2 hours, thinking that it was somebody out there, it was the plane's fault that the weather was like that. It was the plane's fault, and I just said, if that storm's that bad, stay right here. I don't want to be up there when the storm's around there. Let's just wait here and wait till it gets... God has control over everything. And God had control over even the whale. "The Lord spake to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." Again, that's a fun kid's story to tell. It's even more fun to act out, but I won't do that in front of grown adults here. That Jonah came up from the whale came up from the depths, and even a whale could not stomach a disobedient prophet. Even a whale couldn't stomach Jonah when he was running from God. And that whale came up from the bottom at God's behest and spit Jonah up on the ground. Imagine that sight. Again, I've talked about and read the few men that have gone through that have come out bleached and their skin white from the chemicals inside the fish's belly. And I don't know what Jonah looked like, but I bet he looked different than when he went in. I bet he looked almost like a madman. I mean, just wild. God has now given him a message to proclaim, and now he's going to do it. That brings us to letter C, or number 3, the message. In chapter 1, we focus on the mission. In chapter 2, we focus on the man. In chapter 3, we focus on the message. The message. And the message is in verse number 4. In verse 2, God tells Jonah again, "Arise, go to Nineveh." There's that word "go" to Nineveh, that great city, "and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." I like that word "preach" and "preaching." Jonah wasn't sent to give a homily. He wasn't sent with a sermonette. He was sent with a sermon. He was sent to preach. And folks today have as much trouble as folks back then did with preaching. They don't want to hear preaching. They want to hear talk. They want to hear a message. They don't want preaching. And Jonah was sent with a sermon. Notice verse 4. "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said," here's his message. It's only 8 words. "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." 8 words. Let me give you 3 things. This is not on your outline, but 3 things you might want to jot down. His message was brief. It was only 8 words. Again, this is not on our outline, but the message was brief. 8 words. The message was blunt. "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Not hard to understand, is it? It definitely wasn't a contemporary church sermon. It wasn't a social message. It wasn't even a salvation message. It was a judgment. It was a message on pure judgment. "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Not even an invitation to get right. Not even a warning. It was just signed, sealed, and delivered. 40 days and Nineveh's done. Now, Nineveh was a wicked city. And I can understand, you know, some folks said, well, Jonah didn't want to go because he's a coward. There's nothing cowardly in Jonah. He didn't want to go because Nineveh was a nemesis to the nations at that time. They were an unruly mob that went to every nation around it and wiped out men, women, and children and did unspeakable things and despicable things. And Jonah simply believed they didn't deserve a chance. They didn't deserve a salvation message. They didn't need the social gospel. They needed a message of judgment. Folks, sinners today need a message of judgment. They need to know there's a hell. They need to know that it's real. They need to know that it's hot. They need to know that it's eternal. We don't get any pleasure out of announcing that. We don't get any personal pride out of giving the message of the Word of God. But folks need to know that. Folks are going in and out of churches today on Sundays, week after week after week, and getting the social gospel and getting a feel-good message and never hearing words like sin and repentance and judgment and hell. Jonah went into this place and he was given the message. Yet 40 days, it was a brief message. It was a blunt message. It was a blessed message. Because as we're going to see, at the preaching of Jonah, Nineveh repented. He didn't get an invitation for repentance. But the Holy Spirit of God so used the faithful preaching of Jonah in those 8 words that all of Nineveh repented. And we'll look at that in just a moment. Let's look at the message. Number one. Number one, Jonah sprinted. Jonah sprinted. After being vomited up, can I use that word? Belched up, however you want to. After being vomited up on dry land, the Bible tells us at the end of verse number 3, "Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey." Now there's 2 ways to interpret that 3 days' journey, and I'll give you both of them and let you pick. One interpretation is that the city was so big that it took 3 days to go from its eastern gate to its western gate. It was that big a city. The other interpretation is that it was 3 days from the coast. It was a large city, but it was a 3 days' journey from where Jonah had been spit up on the land till he would get to downtown Nineveh. With that in mind, going with that thought in mind, let's say now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And verse number 4 says, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey." You know what that tells me? If that interpretation's right, it was 3 days away. Jonah got there in 24 hours. Jonah got there in 1 day. He made a 3 days' journey in 1 day's time. You say, why? Because he didn't want to go back to Whale University. That was enough experience for him. By this time in Jonah's life, he's determined to be obedient to God. It's not necessary that he likes the message he's going to proclaim. He definitely doesn't like the people he's going to proclaim it to, but he doesn't like being in the belly of the whale. So weighing his options, he puts on his Nike running shoes. And in one day's trip, he makes 3 days travel and comes into the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, and Jonah began to enter the city in a day's journey. Jonah sprinted. Number two, Nineveh repented. Jonah sprinted. He gave the message of verse 4, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. There is no earthly explainable reason why the people of Nineveh just didn't shove a spear through Jonah and get rid of that prophet. There's no reason why they didn't at least take him and throw him in prison or mock and laugh at him when he walked through the town pronouncing this message in mighty Nineveh. There was no invading army anywhere around. They were in no imminent threat. There was no army around that was powerful enough to scale their walls and get in and to conquer them. They had conquered everybody all around them. They were in no imminent... There's no reason, no earthly reason for them to worry about the message of this strange-looking prophet that had just come out of 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, walking through town, yelling at the top of his lungs, preaching the preaching that God bid him, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. They could have laughed, they could have mocked, they could have abused the prophet, but what happened? Verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast. Can I tell you, that's supernatural. That was not by the power of Jonah's oratory. That was not because he was a gifted speaker. It's not for any kind of bribe or charisma that he had. It was nothing more than the Spirit of God working and convicting the hearts of men. The hearts of kings are in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth it whithersoever he will. Verse 5, the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? They repented. They repented, Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 41, the men of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. They repented. I don't understand it. They repented when this guy walked through town saying, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. These hardened enemies of God and enemies of Israel. I mean, that'd be like a modern-day Jewish prophet in Israel being called to go to Iraq or to Iran and told, go to Iran and walk down the street of downtown Iran and proclaim, thus saith the Lord. Can you imagine what would happen to that prophet in our day in such a hostile environment? Yet Jonah did it, and the whole place repented. It doesn't make sense. You know why it could happen? Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It doesn't take a man's wisdom. It doesn't take his gift of oratory, his charisma, his personality. It takes the Word of God. And the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And when the Lord said, that's His Word, go tell Nineveh, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown, when He gave that Word, it was quick and powerful. And it convicted everyone from the king to the common citizen. And they commanded a fast and they put sackcloth on ashes and they repented. And then what happened? Jonah sprinted. Nineveh repented. Number three, God relented. God relented. Now the word repented is used here, but I can't use it twice. So in verse number 10, the Bible says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented him of the evil that he said he would do unto them and he did it not. Try to imagine again, if you would, the people of Nineveh. Jonah came through and he said, 40 days and you're done. 40 years, no reprieve. 40 years, no grace. 40 days and you're done, you're finished, that's it. And a week went by, Jonah pronouncing that message, and 2 weeks, and 3 weeks, and 4 weeks, and it got to the 40 days. The 39th day, the sun went down at night. What's going to happen the next day? They've all repented, but they don't have a reprieve. They've not heard that God's going to accept them. The 40th day, the sun sets. Well, maybe it's by midnight tonight. The sun goes down that night, rises the next morning, goes on day after day after day, and they finally realize God had relented. God had recognized their repentance. God does the same thing today. The Bible says that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. It's only repentance that turns God's judgment away. And it happened when Jonah delivered his message. The mission, the man, the message. In letter D, chapter 4, the miracle. The miracle. Now we've already seen, really if you study the book of Jonah, you've already seen a couple miracles already. In chapter 1, God sent the wind. When Jonah was out on that ship going to Tarshish, it wasn't just by accident that a big storm came up that night. Just like when the disciples were crossing the sea and a boisterous wind came and they were tossed to about and they were toiling in rowing and Jesus came walking on the water. That wasn't just an accidental storm. That was on purpose. God sent that storm. The same thing is true of Jonah on the sea that night. God sent the wind. Then he sent the whale. Now in chapter 4 he sends the worm. And every one of them is a miracle of God. It's a supernatural thing. Let's look at the miracle in chapter 4. Number 1, Jonah pouted. Jonah pouted. Can I tell you something honest? Not that I haven't been saying honest things all this. I've always said I'll never say that. I hear preachers say that. Can I tell you the truth for just a moment? I've heard preachers say that. I thought, wait a minute, that means you haven't been telling the truth up till now. Can I make a confession? If God had called me to go to a city, no matter how reluctantly, and I went to that city and I preached, and the whole city repented, the next issue of Sword of the Lord magazine is going to have my picture on the front cover. I'm going to take pictures. I'm going to write to them and tell them, look what I did. Look what happened. I went into this city. I went into downtown Detroit. I went into Los Angeles, I went to New York, and the whole, from the mayor down, everybody in the city repented. Don't you know that if any modern-day preacher did something like that, they would be broadcasting it around the world? Jonah should be on the top of cloud nine right now. He should be the most motivated man in anywhere. But you know what he's doing? Verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. You know, Jonah, he goes to sit down under a tree and wait the 40 days to see God judge Nineveh. And when the 40th day comes and goes, he's displeased. He's pouting because God did not judge Nineveh. Instead of rejoicing that his preaching resulted in the converts of a wicked, ungodly city full of enemies of God, Jonah's sitting there thinking, well, that's just like God. He didn't do what he said he's going to do. He gave me a message and then he didn't keep his part of it. He didn't back it up. Now what? Now I look like a false prophet. I said 40 days and Nineveh is going to be destroyed. It's been 41 days and it's still standing there. Who's going to believe me now? Poor old Jonah, wallowing in his self-pity, thinking that, you know, kind of like Elijah, there's no other prophets around but me. And God says, I got 7,000 more just like you, pal. Jonah pouted. It said in verse number 1, it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Notice number 2. Not only Jonah pouted, but number 2, a gourd sprouted. A gourd sprouted. Verse number 6. As Jonah's sitting on the outside of the city, on the west side, in verse number 6, and the Lord prepared a gourd. and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. First, he's exceeding angry. Now he's exceeding glad. He's kind of an emotional roller coaster kind of guy, I guess. He went out on the west side just to watch Nineveh and count the days down and watch it be destroyed. And after 40 days and it wasn't destroyed, Jonah's sitting there and he's displeased and he's pouting. And God sends a gourd and has it grow up to give him some shade from the sun. God is taking care of his prophet. And God provides a shade tree for Jonah to sit under, that little bit of shade that the gourd would give to save him from the blistering sun so he doesn't turn all red like Brother Tom. God gives him some comfort from the sun, and the gourd sprouted. But then what happened? Verse 7, but God prepared a worm when the morning arose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. God gave him, I don't know when it was, that 39th day or the 40th day, God gave him that shelter under there, and when it was obvious that the city wasn't going to be destroyed, God sent a worm that devoured he prepared the gourd, now he prepared the worm that's going to eat the gourd. And the worm devoured the gourd, and now Jonah's got no shade from the heat. And he's upset in God. He's pouting, and he's disappointed, and he's wondering, God, where's your mercy? Where's your mercy? Why did you take away the little bit of shade that I had? Don't you care about me? And God says to Jonah, exactly. You're worried that I don't care about you because I sent a worm for that gourd. And yet you want me to rain out fire and brimstone from heaven on all the people of Nineveh. Notice Jonah pouted, a gourd sprouted, and Jonah's rebellion was routed. Jonah's rebellion was routed. God sent Jonah a message to show him the folly of his attitude. He said in verse number 10, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Thou hast had pity on the gourd. He felt bad for the gourd that got devoured by the worm. He felt sorry for a gourd. But he didn't feel sorry for all the men, women, and children of Nineveh who had been spared from destruction. Verse 11, And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 64,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? God tells Jonah, you were worried about the gourd. You felt more concerned about the gourd than you did about the six score thousand persons in Nineveh that had been spared from judgment. And his rebellion was routed. God had an answer for Jonah's negative attitude. You know the best thing you and I can do? Not question God. We can say it this way, and it sounds awful current, go with the flow. The Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God. We can get all worked up, and we can get upset, like that fellow sitting on the plane one row back. We can get all worked up and upset when the plane doesn't take off on time and it's waiting there for 2 hours in a storm. But you know what? As a believer and with God in control, just wait it out. Just see what the Lord's going to do. I'd much rather take off from the ground with a nice blue sky than lightning flashing all over the place. I've been in a plane like that out in the Pacific before. I've been there in a little tiny plane looking for... I remember the guy coming down. I'm sitting co-pilot, and we're coming down through the clouds. He said, we should be getting close to the island now. Watch for the coastline as I descend. And I'm thinking, coastline? What about the face of that mountain that's right there along the coastline? And when that plane said, we're waiting out the storm, I said, hallelujah. Wait as long as you need to. Bring me breakfast in the morning. I don't care. Let's not get ahead of things. Jonah got ahead of God. Remember we said an angry prophet running ahead of God. He's got everything worked out. We just need to be faithful to him. Jonah was faithful. And the things he did right, he did good. But he learned the lesson the hard way. God teaches a lesson any way we need it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for the wealth of information that's contained in your word.